Baruchim Abayim Rabotai, welcome to another edition of our Thursday night class. We are studying tonight Parashat Naso. There is one section of the Parashah that is quite neglected because there's so many other fascinating aspects of the Parashah, whether it's Birkat Kohanim, or the Parashah of Sotah, or the Parashah of Nazir, or the Parashah of the Korbanot of the Nesi'im. So this little section gets swept over. And as I told you many times, sometimes where you least expect it is where the most secrets and Dirashot are found. So tonight we have a very simple format to the Shi'ur. We'll read the Pasuk, we'll say over the Pshat, what it's teaching us on the simple level, and then try to dig a little deeper and see if we could uncover some of the jewels that are under the surface. We start in Pirik here, and we can start Pasuk here, the Ber Adonai Moshe Lemor. The Ber B'nei Yisrael, speak to the people, Ish o Isha ki Yasu. Mikol hatot Adam, a man or a lady, they're going to make sins. Mikol hatot Adam, whatever the sins are, lemol ma'al b'Hashem, they're going to transgress. They're going to make mi'ilah. They're going to abuse the mitzvot. V'Hashema hanefesh ahi, and the soul is going to be guilty of a sin. V'tvaduot hatatam, and they will confess the sin that they did. V'heshivet ashamo b'rosho, and he will return the asham. He will return the sin b'rosho, on his head. B'rosho means v'hamishito yosef alav, and he will add a fifth. V'natan la'asher asham lo. What is this pasuk talking about? What is he returning b'rosho? What does it mean, v'hamishito? Yosef alav, he'll add a fifth. So the Hakamim tell us in the Gemara that this is talking about a specific sin of a person that stole money. He was a shomer, he was watching money for somebody. When the guy told him, where's the money? He said, I don't know where the money is. And he swore falsely that it was stolen. Meanwhile, he himself was the thief. And then he confessed. So the guy over here made a few avonot. He stole, he swore falsely, and he finally confessed, but the Torah says it's too late. He needs a tikkun. So the Torah says, what does he do? V'tvadu et hatatam asher asu. First he confesses the sin. V'yeshivet ashamo b'rosho. That she learns b'rosho means he has to pay the principal. And after he pays the principal, v'hamishito yosef alav. He has to add a fifth. That's a penalty, because he swore falsely. So he has to add a 20% penalty when he pays back. V'natan la'asher asham lo, and he gives it back to the person that he owes. And then he also has to bring a korban asham. So this pasuk is specifically talking about a monetary sin of a person that stole money, swore falsely, confessed subsequently. So Torah says he has to pay keren, v'homesh, v'asham. V'natan v'yeshivet ashamo b'rosho, that's the head payment, that's the payment of keren, of principal, v'hamishito yosef alav, and then he pays homish, a fifth. That's a simple explanation of the pesukim. However, when I read it with the boys this week in the shi'ur, it was bothering me. The language of the pasuk, v'yeshivet ashamo b'rosho, doesn't mean b'rosho. If it's referring to paying keren, principal payment, say v'yeshivita mamon, v'yeshivita gezel. What is the Torah going out of its way, b'rosho, something in the head? So I found some interesting interpretations over here. We'll go one at a time. The Gemara says in Avodah Zarah Daf He, kol ha'oseh mitzvah achat ba'olam hazeh, mekadamato veholechet lefanav le'olam abba. Anybody that does a mitzvah in this world, the mitzvah precedes him in Olam Abba. Your goodness and your righteousness will walk in front of you. And anybody that commits a sin in this world, the sin engulfs him, it enwraps him, and it escorts him, it takes him to his judgment. The Gaon Maharsha over here, he questions, what does it mean when it comes to a mitzvah? Says the mitzvah precedes him. The mitzvah goes in front of him. And when it comes to the sin wraps him up and holds on to him and pulls him. So he says a mashal of a king that is making a wedding and a party. And he asks one of his servants to go and pick up this fellow and bring him to the wedding. So when he tells the fellow, the king wants you at the wedding, please come. Since it's a happy occasion, the one that's bringing the fellow to the wedding can walk in front of the man, because he's not worried that he's going to run away, because everybody wants to come to the wedding of the king. So he just escorts him and he goes in front, because he's thrilled to follow, he wants to go. But if a person is sent by the king, and the king says, go bring this man, we're going to hang him, we're going to put him in jail or prison, so then already, he cannot walk in front of the man, because the man will run away. So he has to walk behind him, and hold on to him to make sure he doesn't escape. Says Gaon Maharsha, every time a person makes a mitzvah in this world, he creates a malach. And every time he makes a avirah in this world, he creates also a malach, but a prosecuting angel. When it comes to the mitzvah goes in front of the person, because the mitzvah takes him to Gan Eden. Therefore, v'halach lefanecha tzedkecha, the mitzvah, the malach says, come, follow me. Who's not going to follow the malach at all? However, when a person makes a avirah, so he creates malach ra, he creates a kategor, he creates a prosecuting angel. In that case over there, if the angel is going to say, come with me, the guy's going to run for the hills. He doesn't want to go to Gehinnom. So the Gemara says, melafafato. The angel grabs him and holds on, stands behind him, and pushes him to make sure he gets to his final destination. Our rabbis tell us in Sfarim that there's two forms of teshuvah. There's teshuvah miyirah and teshuvah me'ahava. The first type of teshuvah is somebody that makes a teshuvah out of fear, which is okay. He's scared of the punishment, he's scared of the consequences or the repercussions, so he makes teshuvah. Teshuvah miyirah has an ability to erase the sin. However, there's a higher level. Teshuvah me'ahava. When a person makes the teshuvah on the higher level, me'ahava, so the avera not only is erased, but it flips. It turns into a mitzvah. That's a little comfort for those people who have a lot of sins. From a lot of sins, you can turn them into a lot of mitzvot. A person shouldn't feel bad. Say, oh boy, look at these avonot I have. You have to look at all of your avonot as opportunities. And now, you're able to flip them and turn them into, you could turn counterfeit money, you could turn it into real value, real asset. But it has to be done. I'm not suggesting that you should make avirot in order to flip them. Those type of avirot don't get flipped that easily. You cannot make a sin al menat to make teshuvah. But the person has sins in his files cabinet already. So those sins already, you should know, don't feel so bad that, what am I going to do now? On the contrary, it's an opportunity to make teshuvah me'ahava, and you'll be able to turn them over. I'm going to tell you what the B'nai Yisachar brings down in the Sefer, in the Chodesh Nisan. B'nai Yisachar wrote a book on all the months of the year. So in Chodesh Nisan, he says something. I really don't understand what he means. I'm going to read it. you'll ask one of the rabbis that you're close to, maybe, and he'll explain to you the depth of these concepts. I like to say over these concepts that I don't understand, because one day it'll register. You know, we say it, we throw it out there, and then you go to a class somewhere else from the big rabbis, and they'll say, ah, that's what he meant when he said that. Ah, I knew that concept. So let it percolate in your brain a little, and over time you'll understand it. He writes, I quote his language here. This is known. Teshuvah tata'a mir'ah. The lower level of teshuvah is mir'ah. That's from fear, and that we know. Hu b'b'chinat he'batra'ah. That corresponds the second he in God's name. V'teshuvah la'ah. He teshuvah me'ahava. That's teshuvah me'ahava is the highest level. B'b'chinat v'asetov. Hu b'b'chinat he'rishona. Shem has a name. Yud-ke vav-ke. There's two he's. There's he'rishona and he'acharona. Shene he'hin. I always think these are just two letters, but these letters represent so many concepts. So he says, when one makes teshuvah me'ahava, or teshuvah me'ir'ah, out of fear, that corresponds to the second he. Yud-ke, vav-ke, the second he. Teshuvah me'ahava, oh, that corresponds the first he. I can repeat these words. I don't have a problem to repeat them. First here, second here, corresponds. But do I understand exactly the mechanics and what's going on? No. But let that be an excitement to you. The next time you're making teshuvah me'ahava, you say, oh, I'm connecting myself to the first here of Shem Hashem. And when you're making teshuvah me'ir'ah, I'm connecting myself to the Shem here, Aharona. This gives you a little excitement. Are you attaching yourself to the name of Hashem? You can attach yourself to the letters of Hashem. Oh, if this is true, so maybe we can explain the Pesukim now in a whole new light. And the Pesuk is saying like this, Ish o Isha, ki ya'asu mikol hatot ha'adam lomu'olmal ba'Hashem. A person makes a sin. Doesn't matter what the sin is. Mikol hatot adam. Whatever the sins of man are, the ma'al, he rebelled against God. And as a result, he created malachim. What type of malachim? Malachim of asham. Guilty angels, prosecuting angels. Angels that are going to be melafafato. Angels that are going to grab onto him and pull him to his destiny. V'tvadu et chatatam asher asu. But they're going to make teshuvah. And what's going to happen when they make teshuvah? Specifically teshuvah me'ahava. When they make the real teshuvah. V'heshivet ashamo berosho. Now the guilty angel, instead of standing behind him, pushing him to Gehinnam, v'heshivet ashamo berosho. Now the angel of prosecution turns into an angel of defense. It turns into a sanigor. Now it's in front of him. Now you're following the angel, because now the angel is taking you to Gan Eden. So the goal is make teshuvah v'hitvadu. And once you make teshuvah v'heshivet ashamo berosho, now he's walking in front of you. But that's only when you make teshuvah twice, mir'ah and then ahava, because you need to flip it. And that's what the end of the pasuk says. Vahamishito. Anytime you have a vav, vav comes along, like it says in the pasuk, v'yiten lecha Elohim etal hashamayim. As if v'yiten. So Rashi brings down that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you v'yachzor v'yiten. Anytime you have a vav, the vav is like repetitive. So it says, v'hamishito. When will the malach walk in front of you? When you double hamishito, when you make the shuva keneged the five, the hamishito, the he aharona, which is yira, va hamishito, v'yazor v'yahamesh, make the shuva again keneged the he rishona, which is teshuva me'ahava, v'hamishito yosef ala, when you make the shuva twice, v'b'chinat yira na'ahava, then already v'shivet ashamo b'rosho. Okay, Musar is very strong. That's the goal of a person, to take that angel that strangles us and holds us and pulls us to our fate of Chas v'Shalom negative, to turn it into a mitzvah, v'hamishito, tu teshuvot, he rishona, he acharona, and all of a sudden the asham is not behind you. V'yishivet ashamo b'rosho. Now he's in front of you. Taddal, Baruch Abba. And you're following him to Gan Eden. That's one interpretation. Let me tell you a second interpretation. I really came tonight to tell you the third interpretation. But just to wet your palates a little, we start off, you know, from the lower levels, and then we get to the Dirasha that we primarily came. It also gives you a chance to rest and sleep a little, like I see many of you are doing, till we get to the main course. Oh, there's a Zohar HaKadosh. The Zohar HaKadosh always talks about Hahu Yinuka. There was a great rabbi called Rav Menuna. Rav Menuna had a son, and Rav Menuna's son used to shoot out the most brilliant concepts to the Hachamim. They couldn't believe it. He was so young, but his Divrei Torah was so penetrating and so deep. So one time, the Yinuka, the son of Rabbi Menuna, was in front of the Hachamim, and he said like this. I'll read the holy words of the Zohar HaKadosh. It's good, it cleanses. Batach ve'amar, he'chacham einav b'rosho. A hacham, his eyes are in his head. V'chi be'an atar einoy de'barnash. The Zohar asks, what do you mean? Where else do you think his eyes are? Ela b'rosho. Of course they're in his head. Dilma begufo o bedro'e. Where do I think his eyes are? On his arm? Where do I think his eyes are? On his body? What does that pasuk mean that Shlomo HaMelech said in Kohelet? Hacham, einav b'rosho. Ah, the skill of Shlomo, I didn't know where the person's eyes are. I turned his eyes on his elbow. But Shlomo HaMelech said, no, you should know the eyes are in the head. Hacham, einav b'rosho. De'apik le'hacham yatir mikol b'nei alma. The Hacham of all the wisest men, Shlomo HaMelech, Hacham mikol adam, he needs to tell me such a thing. Ela kra achi hu vaday, detnan lo yehe barnash begilui deresha arba amot. A person should not go without a head covering, even four steps. My tama deshchinta sharia al reshe, because the holy Shekhinah rests on the top of a person's head. That's where the holy Shekhinah is. V'chol hachim, and anybody that's hacham, enoy umiloy b'rosho innun. Where is he always looking? Hacham enab b'rosho. That means he's always looking at what's on top of his head. What's on top of his head? Ba'ahid d'sharia v'kayma al reshe. And what's always on his head? The Shekhinah kedusha. Why do we wear a kippah? Because there's something over your head. You cannot reveal your bald scalp in front of the Shekhinah. This wouldn't be respectful. The wearing of a kippah symbolizes that you recognize that there's Shekhinah above you. And if out of respect you have to cover up in order to... This means not only when you're in the public, even when you're in private, the tzaddikim even put the kippah on when they're sleeping. Out of respect again for the Shekhinah, for the holy divine spirit that's above the person's head. So that's what Shlomo HaMelech meant. Hacham, where is he looking? Einav b'rosho. The Hakamim always tell us that Shiviti Adonai l'negdi tamid. When the tzaddikim are walking, they're always looking at the Shekhinah. They always see the name Yudke Vavke in front of their eyes. Hakam einav b'rosho. He's always looking up. He always sees that divine presence is in front of him. There's a song we sing on Motzei Shabbat. Mimineinu Michael, umisimoleinu Gabriel, Ve'al Roshenu, Shekhinat El. Which means, yes, it's true, Al Roshenu. Everybody has, the Goyim, they call it a halo of some sort, Behilo, the halo of a person, that there's a certain light. Maybe there's some people, I know some people, they're able to see it even. That they can see a person, they can see the Kiddushah that's over a person's head. They're able to see the light that comes out of a person. The Pasuk says in Kohelet, Bechol et yehiyu begadecha lebanim. At all times, your clothes should be white. You should always be wearing white clothes. What does it mean? You have to be like the good humor man? You have to wear a white suit? No. Bechol et yehiyu begadecha lebanim means, your beged is your neshama. You have to see at all times that your neshama is white. That you're constantly cleaning away from the avonot. And you're constantly doing mitzvot. Veshemin al roshcha al yahsar. Yet you shouldn't be lacking oil on your head. What does that mean? You should take an oil bath? No. Veshemin al roshcha al yahsar means veshemin is the mitzvot. The shekhinah is like a fire. And a human being is like a wick. So you have all the ingredients. You have the fire, that's the shekhinah. And the human being is the wick. But a fire and a wick doesn't mean anything without oil. You need a fuel. What's the fuel? The mitzvot. And therefore when a person does mitzvot, v'shemin al roshcha, it's like you're taking jugs of oil and you're pouring it on your head. Your head is like the receptacle of the flame. And now the petilah comes out. And now Kadosh Baruch Hu is able to be bright, the Shekhinah, over the person's head. Bechol et yehiyu begadecha lebanim. You should always be doing the mitzvot. And therefore, v'shemen al roshcha al yahsar. Your head will be like the oil. The receptacle will be filled with mitzvot. And now the Shekhinah will be able to hover over a person. Here we go again. Back to the Yudke Vavke. It's good to get familiar with these concepts. Trust me, it won't hurt you. One day, these things will come in handy for you. The last hair of Yudke Vavke, the holy books say, is keneged the Shekhinah. The hair acharonah is keneged the Shekhinah. Yudke Vav is keneged the other higher levels, but the hair is the Shekhinah that's on the earth. You remember when Adam HaRishon committed the sin, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell him? Ayeka. Simply it means, Adam, where are you? What do you mean, where are you? HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't know where Adam HaRishon is. HaKadosh Baruch Hu scans the whole world. When Adam HaRishon made the sin, he caused the Shekhinah to go back up. He chased away the Shekhinah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Ayeka, Ayeka Zashe Tevot. Ech He. Which means, how did you do that to the He? How did you do that to the Shekhinah? What did you do? Ya'avon already took the He and sent it back up. How did you do such a thing? You were pogam. There's a Gemara that says, what tree did Adam HaRishon eat from? It's mahloket what the tree was. According to the Bi Yehuda says it was a chita. Why does he say it was a chita? Wheat. Chita is Rashi Tevot. Het is het. What was the sin of Adam HaRishon? Het, he. The sin of Adam HaRishon caused the hair, which is the Shekhinah, to go back up. And that's why God told him, Ech, hey, what did you do? When a person repents from a sin, what do we call repentance? Teshuvah. What does Teshuvah stand for? Teshuv, hey. That what? When a person makes Teshuvah, he brings down the hair, the Shekhinah, back down. Oh, if this is the case, the Pasuk means like this. Ish or Isha, Ki yasu mikol hatot ha'adam demol ma'al ba'ashem. If a person commits any of the sins, ish or isha, man or lady, doesn't matter. Lemol ma'al ba'ashem. And he makes a transgression against God, and as a result of it, he caused the Shekhinah to leave. He caused the Shekhinah that was on his head. Hakam reinab derosho. The Shekhinah that's on top of a person's head, that's why he wears a kippah. He makes a havon. The Shekhinah goes away. Ve'ashema nefesh ha'i. He's guilty. Vitvadu et hatatam asher asuna. They make teshuva, they repent. Ve'eshiv et ashamo berosho. He now brings back is the guilt that he made. He returns it back to where? He brings it back berosho. He brings back the Shekhinah back to his head. That was the avon that he did. And as a result, what happens? The hamishito Yosef alav. The hamishito is the he. The he acharonav yud kevav kev the hamishito Yosef alav. Now the five comes back down. The Shekhinah, which is connected to Oteh. So the Pasuk is referring to when a person makes a sin, he makes an asham. Shekhinah leaves his head. Ah, when a person makes teshuvah, what happens? The pasuk writes, "Vetvada," when he's going to make teshuvah in his avon, "Veheshivet ashamo," he returns from his sin. What sin? The sin that was berosho. What was the sin that was berosho? That he chased the Shekhinah away. Oh, once he makes teshuvah, what's going to happen? "Vahamishito Yosef alav." Hamishito is the he acharona Yosef alav will come back down on him and rest on him. This is nice. To me, it reminds me that when there's avon taking place, even though we don't see any damage, there's damage. You're not the same person. The kedusha that was hovering over the person now leaves, and it's incumbent upon the person to bring it back down. Good. What I really wanted to come and tell you tonight is the following derasha. The Gemara says in Berachot, there was a custom in Eretz Yisrael when a person would get married. When a person would get married in the West, Amar la, or they would tell him the next day, Matza o Mose. They would ask him, what type of wife did you have over here? Maybe the next day, maybe a week they gave him, until he was able to make a proper judgment. They would say, what type of wife you have? Matzah or Motzeh? What were they asking? There's two pasukim that Shlomo HaMelech talked about a wife. One pasuk is, Matzah Isha Masah Tov. Person finds a good wife, Matzah Isha Masah Tov is good. But there's another pasuk Shlomo said, Umoseh Ani Eta Isha Mar Mimavit. And I find the Isha more bitter than death. Don't take that personal, ladies. We're talking about other ladies, not the ones that come to our classes. Matzah isha matzah. So they would ask the man, what type of wife you have over here? Is she matzah or motzeh? Matzah isha matzah tov or motzeh ani? Man mimavet eta isha. So the Gaon Maharsha says over here, beautiful interpretation. This is a remez. There's ish ve'isha. The man is called ish. The lady is called isha. What's the numerical value of ish? Well, aleph, yod, shin, that's 311. Isha is aleph, shin, he. That's 306. So he writes, matza isha, when the lady is an isha, that she's less than the man, meaning she subjugates herself to the man. The man is an ish, he's 311. She's just an isha, she's 306. She's five less. That means she has respect for her husband, and she gives him the right kavod, and she subjugates herself, like the Gemara says, Ezoi isha keshera, ha'osar eson ba'ala. Who is a kosher lady? A lady that follows the will of her husband. That therefore it says, matza isha, if she's an isha, Aleph Shine, Matzah Tov, you did good. Because she recognizes you're an Ish, and therefore she's subjugated to the will of the husband. He's 311, she's only 306, she's five less. This is good. However, what's the numerical value of Ha'isha? Ha'isha is 306 plus 5. Ha'isha is 311. or the exact numerical value of ish. Umotze ani et ha'isha, when she's ha'isha. Oh, bar mimavet. Now she thinks she's equal with you. Now already she doesn't subjugate herself. The ish is 311, ha'isha is 311. Oh, so now you're in trouble. Now bar mimavet. Now already she's not osed esod ba'ala. Go make your own dinner. She wants him to make the dinner. She wants him to go clean up the house. What do you mean? I'm also equal. Oh, now already you have all the issues that we call shalom bayit. Umotze ani et ha'isha. Man min mavet, but when it's matzah isha, just isha, 306. Oh, this is matzah tov. So somebody asked, why is it a difference of five? Why is the man 311 and isha is 306? Harambam writes that a lady is obligated in five primary chores to a husband. Number one, Harambam says she must sew and do the needlepoint and the work of tailoring. Maybe there's still ladies that do this today. What I'm going to tell you now might sound like a law of the Beit HaMikdash, but he writes, Rocheset panav yadav v'raglav. She bathes the husband. Ah, in the olden days, men were men. Imagine that a lady would go, honey, give me your hands, let me bathe you, let me wash you. He would sit like a melech, and he would resist. Rambam said that's one of the obligations. Rochesed panav yadav v'raglav. Over here today, a man will tell his wife, please, could you turn on the shower? I should turn on the shower for you. What am I over here? You're a maid. Go turn it on yourself over here. And then she'll tell you, don't use all the hot water because I want to take a shower after that. I say it. Yeah, the world's upside down today. Mozeget akos, she would pour the cup for him. He would come home, the wife would come, make mezigah for him, pour the wine, pour the water in it, mix it for him to present it to him. Today you come home, honey, could I have a cup of coffee? Over there, she points. She points over there where the coffee is. Matzaat mita, she makes the bed, but doesn't mean make the bed. She prepares the bed before he goes to sleep. You know, you go into the fancy hotels, at about 7 o'clock, they come into the room, and they have turn-down service. Well, they make the bed fancy, they turn it over, they take the top sheet off, they prop up the pillows, they put a chocolate on the peppermint on the pillow, and they, you know, do all sorts of things. So a good lady, a good wife, Harambam says, Masata mita. You come into the bedroom at night, you see her folding down the bed. Honey, what are you doing? I'm preparing the. You want the mint over here, or you want did you have zafar, you had labar, what type of candy do you want? Okay, today you're ready. We don't want to say. And number five, umedet umeshameshet befanav, which is really a general thing. She stands at the service of a husband. So you see, there's five things. So that's what they say, why she subjugates the husband whose ish is 311. She is 306. Because legabe these five things, she subjugates herself and therefore she has to serve the husband. That's the explanation that they say. Now, based on this, that Rambam, by the way, you can check it up, it's in Hilchot Ishut, is Halakha Chaf Aleph. Just for your record that you see the five things that a lady is obligated. It's good, maybe you can learn it with your wives over Shabbat, over the table. You can read this Rambam, halakha you meet. Halakha Zayin. Who is more responsible for the chinuch of the children? This is a big question. As we know, parents are obligated to mechanech the children. But primarily, where does the obligation of chinuch fall on? The mother or the father? Well, based on what we're saying right now, that the mother is subjugated to the father, so it seems in the Torah's understanding, the father is considered Rosh HaMishpacha. And the Rosh HaMishpacha can not only benefit from getting baths and getting all sorts of services. That's the perks of being the Rosh. But there's responsibilities in being the Rosh. And therefore the Ikar responsibility of the children, whether they succeed in the Hinuch or not, rests on the father. And the Mefarshim say, the Gemara, the father has five obligations legabe his child, his son, that the mother does not have. The father is obligated to circumcise his son. The father is obligated to make pidyon haben on the son. He's obligated to marry him off. He's obligated to teach him a trade. And most importantly, the father is obligated to teach his children Torah. V'limadetem otam et benechem ledaber bam. Primarily, the mother's obligation is to prepare the house that it's physically beautiful and presentable, and to make sure that all the aesthetics of the home, that the children have their clothes, that they're well nourished and fed, that everybody is bathed, everybody is healthy. Primarily, the mother's job is to see to it that, if I could borrow a terminology, that the olam hazeh of the house is under control. But the olam haba, who is in charge of giving over the eternity to the child, primarily, I say, that's the father's obligation. The father has to sit down with the child and study Torah. That burden primarily falls on his shoulders. He has an obligation either to do it himself, or to hire teachers, or to pay for a tuition and send his kids to the yeshiva in order to go study Torah. This is something that every father has to see to it, that his children are studying Torah. And if not, chas v'shalom, and the children go off the derech, or they're wayward, or the father's responsible, because the mother says, that's not my job. And that's what the Torah says, if we read the pasuk this way. Isho isha ki yasu mikul hatot adam nemol ma ba'ashem. You have parents that are delinquent. Ish ve'isha. It's talking about parents. It says ish ve'isha. The lady, the husband and the wife. L'mol ba'al ba'ashem. And as a result of their delinquency, ve'ashema ha'nefesh ahi. Who comes out spoiled? That poor soul. Who's the poor soul? The poor soul is the child. Ve'tvadu et hatatam asher asu. And eventually, they'll have to make teshuvah. They'll have to make a repentance. However, the Torah comes along and says, "Veshiv et Hashemo Berosho." Who's responsible? Berosho. Who's the head? The head is the father. And why is he the head? Because Vahamishito Yosef Alav. Because he's five more than the wife. He's 311. Isha's only 306. And those extra five, one of the five is what? Talmud Torah. And therefore the Torah is clearly saying, if chas v'shalom, that there's a casualty in a family where the child is not performing the right way, he's going off the derech, v'ashema nefesh, there's a delinquency in the soul, v'tvadu et chatatam asher hasu, they must repent. But who is primarily responsible? V'yeshiv et hashamo. Who must repent more? Berosho. It's the head. That's the father. And why is he responsible? Because v'hamishito Yosef alav. Because he has five more obligations to the child than the mother has. And primarily his obligation is Talmud Torah. And therefore, he must burden the guilt. Rabbi Akiva had a derasha once. He said, Ish ve'isha. The man and the wife, shezachu, that they had a good marriage, shechina b'nehem, the shechina is amongst them. If you look in the ish, ish you spell aleph yud shin, the letter yud is an ish. The way you spell isha is aleph shin he, she has the letter he, that's also from God's name. So if you combine them together, ish ve'isha shechina b'nehem, between the yud of the ish and the hair of the Isha, you have Yudke. Yudke is Hashem's name. But chas v'shalom, if the Ish v'Isha are not getting along, the Shekhinah leaves. Take away the Yud from Ish, Esh, it's fire. Take away the hair from Isha, Ish, it's fire. Now you have Ish and Ish, Ish and Ish, Barmanan, you have an inferno. And the Barmanan burned the whole house down. Not in a physical sense, but in a spiritual sense, Barmanan, this is a tragedy of all tragedies. Ish ve Ish. Now why is it, Sam, a question. Why does the man get the yud and the lady gets the hair? Did you ever ask this question? So the books bring down like this. The letter yud and the letter hair are two special letters. The pasuk says in Yeshaya, Ki beya Hashem sur olamim. When God created the world, sur olamim, He created it with the letters yud ke. With the letter yud, He created olam abba. And with the letter he, He created olam azeh. Anytime you see the letter yud, yud is olam abba. He, he is olam azeh. That's why it says in the pasuk, Orech yamim bimina, ubismola, osher, osher, vechavod. Don't be scared to finish the pasukim. Orech yamim bimina, ubismola, osher vechavod. On the right side, you have orech yamim, you have eternity, orech yamim. Ubismola, on the left side, what do you have? Osher vechavod, money. On the left and the right of what? If you take Hashem's name, Yud, Ke, Vav, Ke, what's the rightmost letter? Yud. What's the leftmost letter? He. Orech yamim bimina. Eternity is on the right side. That's going to get the letter Yud. Ubismola. On the left side of Hashem's name, which is the He, Osher vechavod, that's olam hazeh. That's all the physical things of this world. As I told you in a marriage, who's responsible for the spirituality of the house? The father. That's why he's keneged yud. The lady in the house is keneged what? The olam hazeh. The aesthetics. The nourishment. The physical nourishment. She's keneged the letter he. So you need both combination. Ish ve'isha shezachu shekhinah b'neim. The ish is keneged yud. And the lady's keneged he. So basically, Yud He. How many more is the husband? Five more. He's Yud, she's He. And that's what the Pasuk says. That Chas v'Shalom, if the children are deficient in their spirituality, v'Hashema nefesh ha'i, v'yeshivet Hashemo b'rosho, it's on his head. The father said, you know why? V'chamishito Yosef alav. Because he's five more than the mother. The mother's connected to the letter A, he's connected to the letter Yud. Yud is connected to Olam Abba, Hamishito Yosef Alav. Therefore, the burden is on him. If this is true, we must recommit ourselves as parents to this overriding obligation to teach Torah to our children. It's not enough to learn for ourselves. It's never enough to learn for yourselves. We say every day in the prayers, give us the ability, lilmod ulilamed. We don't say, just lilmod, to study. Just to study is not enough. There's a saying that we have, lilmod almenat lilamed. Your studying should be with the intent to teach it over. We don't say, lilmod almenat lilmod. If somebody asks you, why are you learning? You don't say, I want to learn. No, I'm learning so I can give over. I'm learning so I can teach. A learning that you learn in order to teach is a different limud. A learning that you learn not to give over, that's not limud. Your limud has to be with intention to pass it over. So you might say to yourself, but I'm not a teacher in this school. I don't have talmidim. I'm not a rabbi in the synagogue. I don't have a flock. I don't have constituents that listen to the Torah that I'm studying. I study myself. And once in a while, if somebody invites me to say, it'll divrei Torah la shulchan, but more than that, no, you all have talmidim. Your children are your students. And all of you are rabbis. And all of you are educators. And your yeshiva is your household. And therefore, when you're studying Torah, your kavanah has to be always when you sit down, I'm studying this Torah to give it over. To who? To my students, to my children. Number one, when you study with that intention, it's a different studying. Because if you were listening to this class and you knew you had to give it over, you listen with different ears. When you're just listening to listen, 2 minutes after the shiur is over, what did the rabbi say? And he was talking about the letters, yud, he, vav, he. It was unbelievable. So that means you didn't know anything. You cannot repeat one word of what was said. It's all generalities. It's like a foggy night in the middle of the winter, and you can't see anything. There's no visibility. So the shiur is foggy. But if you knew that right after this class, somebody's outside and is going to demand from you, he wants to hear it over. So now you're listening again. What does he mean? What does he mean? What does he mean by that? I got to crystallize it. Repeat it. As the rabbi's thinking, I don't want to lose a point. He's nervous. It's a different mood. But besides that, when your learning has to be a responsible mood that the Torah should perpetuate to the next generation. When a person learns just for himself, that's a restricted learning. That's a selfish learning. That's a learning that's very, very private. Your Torah has to be wide. Your Torah has to be broad. Your Torah has to be open. What I'm telling you now is, not only now when you're sitting in the class, if you're not married yet, and you're in the yeshiva, and you're studying Masechet Gittin, or Baba Metziah, or Sanhedrin, or whatever it is, you're 18 years old, you're not even thinking of getting married yet. You have to study Lilmod Al-Menat Lilamed. When you're studying that Masechet in the yeshiva, you have to say to yourself, one day I'm going to get married, and one day I'm going to have students, I'm going to have children, and they're going to come home from the school, I'm going to have to teach them whatever I'm learning in Masechet Sanhedrin. Unfortunately, today we don't have this attitude. Today what happens, a person gets to 30 years old, he needs parnasah, so he goes to the school, you know, you have a teaching job for me? And so now all of a sudden, in retrospect, all the learning that he did for the past 20 years, you know what, now I'll give it over. But when he was learning it, he never had intention to give it over. But now he needs some money, I guess, you know, I'll become a teacher now, maybe I get a paycheck once a month, and I'll start the saying over. No! Your limud has to be al menat lelamed every time you open the sefer. That's the attitude that you have to have. To sit and learn and teach. So somebody asked, but my children study in the yeshiva, Rabbi. I have a shaliach. So to what's my obligation? So of course your obligation is to review, to study other things. But I saw brought down, Matityahu brings down in the Sefer, a very good advice. He said to study with your children, Sefer HaChinuch. Sefer HaChinuch, the way it says, Chinuch, the name of the book itself, implies that it's a vital book to learn with the children. There was a rabbi called Rabbi Aharon HaLevi. It seems he was the author of the book, even though it's written anonymously. It seems he was the author. And he wrote the Sefer for his own son. He said, I wrote the book for my son and his friends. I wanted them to get a little flavor, he says, of the Parashat HaShavua, but not the stories of the Parashat, the mitzvot of the Parashat. So he went through all the 613 mitzvot, from Peru Urvu all the way to the last mitzvah in the Torah, to write a Sefer Torah. And he explains it concisely, what the mitzvah is, who's obligated, a little flavor of the reason behind it and the spirit behind it. And he said every week he split it up according to the parashiyot. So you'd open up parashat Naso, he'll give you what a sota is, what a nazir is. And he said this is a great opportunity for parents to sit down with their children on a weekly basis and go through the mitzvot of that parasha, and in 1 year, or even if you do 2 years, eventually they'll understand the law, but not only 630 mitzvot, not like a parrot, but they'll know it with the understanding and all the ta'am, all the seasonings that the mitzvot have to offer. It's an invaluable lesson to share this with your children. I would advise, not my advice, Rabbi Tityahu said it, but it's a mitzvah to listen to Gedolei Yisrael, there's no question about it. It's a small investment, maybe it costs $10 the book. They have it in English today. Today they made a project of it, which is also a fantastic project, the Taryag Mitzvot project, where they have each mitzvah illuminated and explained and with elucidation. I think it's a very good custom. Take the sefer during the week, prepare a few mitzvot yourself. Prepare it. You can't just go start teaching your children without preparation. Your children are like your students. Just like when we come teach our students, we don't just wing it. You have to come in prepared. So you study a few mitzvot, you sit on the Shabbat table. Now we're going to study the mitzvot of the parasha. And you start reading it, and you get everybody excited, and you ask them questions. And you share with them the spirit of the law. I'll give you one example. This is how beautiful the book is. It is the 360th mitzvah. Yes. The mitzvah of Ma'asir. There's an obligation to take 10% of your products almost every year and bring it to Jerusalem and eat the product in Jerusalem. Amazing thing. This is besides the holidays, going to Jerusalem. 10% of your field. I don't know if a person has hundreds of thousands of wheat, pounds of wheat or kilos of wheat. So he has to take 10,000 kilos, it's a lot, somehow ship it to Jerusalem. He cannot eat it in outside of Israel. You must eat it, Ma'asir Sheni, only in Jerusalem. So the Sefer HaChinuch is trying to understand, what's the logic? Why would God want you to eat 10% of your food in Jerusalem? What could be the logic of such a mitzvah? Listen to gorgeous understanding. Meshorshei mitzvah, She'el Baruch Hu Bachar Ba'am Yisrael B'chafetz Leman Tzidko. God wants to give us zikuyot. Liyot kulam oske torato v'yodai shemo. He wants everybody to study Torah. U'b'chokhmato, and with his wisdom, Meshacham b'chokhma zu, he drew us, Leman yilmedu yichum usar, ki yodaya elim, because God knows, Sherov b'nei adam nimshachin achar achomer. Most people, they don't go after Torah, they go after the materialistic stuff. You put a Gemara in front of somebody, and you put a gadget, what's he going to be attracted to? The gadget, the physical. Mishagamu basar, after all, they were human beings. V'lo yitinu nafsham ba'amala Torah, they're not going to put the efforts in studying Torah, v'askatamid, again, sabab b'tbunato, God in his wisdom, v'natanem makom, shi'i'u akol devre Torato al kol panim. He connected us to a place that's a place of Torah. She'en safek ki kol adam nimshach likbawa dirato v'makom shimamono sham. Listen, people usually are going to establish their residence where their money is. That's a normal thing. V'lachem be'ha'alot kol ish ma'asar shana v'shana v'makom she'esek hakma v'torah sham v'Yerushalayim. What's going to happen? Every year a person has to go up to Jerusalem. He has to bring up 10% of his assets. You know what's going to probably happen? The guy is going to probably end up buying an apartment in Yerushalayim because he's going there every year anyway. He's eating all his assets over there, a lot of the assets. So he has to be very connected to Jerusalem. Like people fly to Hong Kong and to China. In the olden days, you had to make many trips. So that's always want you to go to Jerusalem. Otherwise, you have to take 10% of your food and get rid of it. If you want to benefit from it, it has to go to Yerushalayim. Who is in Yerushalayim? Shesham, Sanhedrin, you have the great rabbis in Jerusalem. Yudae, Mevine, Mada. And now what happens? We're going to bring up the Ma'asir. Netarebai, quote all the other things that you have to bring. Who's going to bring it up? Ba'ala Mamon, the guy who has the money will bring it up. And what's going to end up happening when he's in Jerusalem for that week or two, 3 weeks? He's going to start learning Torah. Or Yishlach Sham Echad Banav. Or what is it? He'll tell his kid, you know what? Go to Jerusalem. Go eat all the food. Dad, there's too much food over here. I have to go for a year. What am I going to do for a year? I can't eat food all day long. Oh, you know what? Go to the yeshiva. Check yourself into the yeshiva for a year. And when the food is finished, you come back home. It comes out every single family in Klal Yisrael always had a representative that was studying yeshiva in Israel. Because everybody had to have their food eaten in Israel.
ומתוך כך יהיה בכל בית ובית מכל ישראל איש חכם ויודע תורה.
This is to ensure that there's a scholar in every house. How do you ensure that there's a scholar in every house? Tell the guy, you have to eat your money in Jerusalem. Now he's forced to go to Jerusalem. God could have said, you have to go to Aruba. But he wasn't interested in everybody's half sentence. He told everybody to be Tamid Achamim. So go to Eretz Israel.
And nobody's going to just throw away their money. They're going to want to go to fulfill the mitzvah.
Asher yilamed b'chokhmato kol bet aviv. Uvchen, temale ha'aretz de'at Hashem.
The world will become filled with the knowledge of Hashem.
כי אם חכם אחד לבד יהיה בעיר, ואפילו עשרה יהיו הרבה מבני אדם שפעיל וכל שכן אנשים וילדים, ואפילו שמעו דברים פעם אחת בשבוע, ילכו לבית הנעד, and people come home, they share the דברי תורה with their families, with their wives.
And therefore what's going to end up happening, Christ is going to be elevated. You see the חוכמה of the Torah,
by bringing some wheat to Jerusalem, you're ensuring that Klal Yisrael will have Torah in every household. Now imagine you would share these concepts with your children, that they can have an understanding. This is the mitzvah of chinuch. And as fathers, I'm talking to the fathers now, the responsibility primarily falls on us. And that's what the pasuk comes along and says. Ve'eshiv et hashamo berosho. The hasham of the child is on the head of the father. Why? Because he's the ish. He doesn't only benefit from the five services that the wife does for him, 311 to 306. But his benefit is that he has five obligations to his son. And the primary obligation is Talmud Torah. And if the child doesn't succeed in Talmud Torah, it's Berosho, because he has these five obligations more than the wife. There's one more pasuk in Kohelet. It says, "V'isha mikol ele lo matzati." There's one time Shlomo Melech says to the lady, she's considered ve'isha, because ve'isha. How much is ve'isha? Ve'isha is already 312. Till now we saw a lady that's 306. She's the Isha. She's the Matza Isha Matzatov. Then you have Umotsa'ani et Ha'isha. She's equal. Okay, that's a Marmi Mavit. Ve'isha mikol ele lo matzati, but the one that's unparalleled. You cannot find such a, this is the rarest case. Is Ve'isha. Ve'isha is 312 when she's one up from the husband. That already Shlomo says is the rarest case. Therefore, we learn also in the Inyan and the Shalom Bayit for the ladies. The lady shouldn't be Ve'isha. She shouldn't put herself above the husband. Even putting herself equal with the husband is not healthy for the marriage. The lady shouldn't be Ve'isha and she shouldn't be Ha'isha. She should just be Isha. Matza Isha, Matza Tov. Listen to the lessons. Shalom Bayit, Talmud Torah, and then don't forget the first two Devrei Torah that I told you. The Devrei Torah of Bar Minan, when a person makes a Avon, the Mal'ah grabs him. The goal is to make Teshuvah, Me'ahava, and Yir'ah, Vachamishito, Vav, Mosif. Make Teshuvah, Me'yir'ah, Naba, Kenegah, the two hairs, the head Ishuran, the hair Haronah. And then what? V'yishiv Hashemo b'rosho. Now instead of the Avon pushing you, the Avon is going to turn into a mitzvah, it's going to lead you. Maybe that's why it says, I'm thinking now, maybe we can, does it work out? V'hamishito Yosef alav. Now listen to this. What's alav? Alav, you can break up the word. Al yudvav. What's the four letters of Hashem's name? Yud ke vav ke. When you make teshuvah me'ahavan yir'ah, it's connected to two his. The hamishito Yosef al yud vav. When you add it to the yud vav, add two his to yud vav, you'll have yud ke vav ke. That's a side point. In any event, The second derasha that we said, Mahabishito Yosef Alav, that's referring to the Shekhinah on a person's head. Person makes a havon, the Shekhinah leaves it. Hakam Einav Derosho. He's always looking at his head because the Shekhinah is on top of his head. Al Roshenu Shekhinatel. When a person makes a sin, the Shekhinah leaves. Eche, where's the hair? What'd you do? You make the Shuvah, Teshuv hair. The hair comes down. And that's what the Pasuk says. Ve'eshivet Hashemo Berosho. You have to bring back the sin to the head. And once he does that, the Hamishito Yosef Alav, the hair, Aharonah Shel Shekhinah, will come back down. But the main dirash is, when it comes to the Hinuch of the Yeladim, Yiratzon, we should be zochet to fulfill this pasuk in all its aspects and all its angles and all its facets. And then Bezal Hashem Bore Lam will give us a zechut. We should be mitkaber on the Yetzer Hara. We should only be creating malachim that are sanigorim, that are defending angels. And the Shekhinah should always be on our heads. We should take the responsibility of chinuch seriously, specifically to our children, to teach them Torah, and the wives should follow the responsibility of being isha kishera, oseh, osar, esod, ba'ala, and then, by the Shem, there'll be shalom, ha-Yisrael, amen, ve-amen. Rabbi Yochanan ben Kasha amen. Sarai Baruch Hu, Zekol Yisrael, Efikha, Kibam, Tzunem, Arma, Hafez, Man, Tzutkoi, Di Torah, Ve-Yadir.